May the peace and power of God, which comes from believing in Jesus Christ, your Savior, be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Supposing today you had a day off and nothing to do, no assignments, nothing. In your mind, what would you choose to do? In a Gallup poll which asked the question, how many pastors want to win the world for Christ? The Lutheran churches combined, it says 62% of the Lutheran pastors would want to win the world for Christ. That's sort of low, but that's sort of high in a way, because that was about where the Baptists were. But on a second question, was asked of the layman. How many of you would want to win the world for Christ? That's of Lutherans. And the Lutheran layman ranked 3%. That was the lowest of any church in America. Why is it? In a personal survey I conduct as I preach across the nation, I ask the pastor permission to put out a little slip. Why should God let you into heaven? Age and sex. Never a name. We don't want that. But these are statistics we're beginning to get. In a typical worship service on Sunday morning, only 42% of the people in the pew can give the right answer. When you men become the pastors in the pulpit, think of that. Secondly, the young people in the pew, it points out that only 38% of them are certain of going to heaven. And the final one, ages 0 to 10, and these are probably about from 7 to 10, only the ones that can write, only 7% of them could give the right answer. The question is, how can we reverse this trend? Our text for today is 1 Timothy 2:4, which says, God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This morning we would consider three truths about that passage. What is the most important job of the church? Let's consider first the truth about sin. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible says there is not a just man or woman or prof or pastor on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible also says, if any man say he hath no sin, he deceives himself, and the truth is not in him. So the first truth we must know is that we all have sinned. But the problem of sin is, the Bible says, it separates us from God. Adam and Eve were made in the image of God. They walked and talked with God. They were perfectly happy until sin came into their life. And then God said, from dust thou wast taken, and to dust thou shalt return. For the wages of sin is death. And not just physical death, but spiritual death as well. We see this sin in the lives of people. Today we see the families in a large degree disintegrating. We see divorce. We see morality going down the drain. Many people, when talked about moral issues, say, well, so what? Everybody else is doing it. We see sin in the church. Even sometimes we see pastors are divorced. We see church leaders get involved in politics within the church. We see pastors whose families are torn up. And the world's siren song is, come, look and eat and drink of the sex and the money and the material things of life. Get involved, because the world wants to take you away from Jesus Christ. Remember, sin separates us from God, and the wages of those sins is death, and that's eternal death in hell. But there's a second truth we need to talk about, and that's the truth about God. Remember our text? God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God had to decide what to do about sin. And when he looked down on the world, he saw us just as we know ourselves inside. He saw all the vileness inside, and he knew that sin was separating us from God. So God realized he had to have something to bring us back. And he chose the most precious thing he had, his only son. He said, "Son, I want you to go down there. I want you to do it. I want you to do two things. First of all, I want you to keep that law for man. Because remember, I said, we must keep the law perfectly. And they can't do it, but you can, son." And he did it. And the second thing he told his son is, "I want you to suffer, and I want you to die, and I want you to rise again from the grave." And he did. But when Jesus did this, he paid the whole price. The Bible simply says to us as Christians, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son to suffer and die on the cross for you, that if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you shall never perish, but you shall have everlasting life. Now I want to check out your doctrine. How dare I say that? But think of this. If you were to offer God $1,000,000 to get into heaven, would he let you in? If you were to offer God $1,000,000,000 to get into heaven, would he let you in? Let's even get Reagan out of debt. If you offered God $1,000,000,000,000, would he let you into heaven? Do you believe that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for your sins? If you offered that to God, would he let you into heaven? Do you realize what you have? You have something that all the money in the world can't buy. But God, the Holy Spirit, has put it in your heart. And you have that to offer to the world. Something that the richest man in the world could not get, you have. And you can give it to him through the work of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that exciting? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works or anything else. It's a gift of God. Now, I want to see how good you are in all of your doctrine. Now, there's a passage in the Bible says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You believe that? Now, listen to the other part of it. But he that believeth not shall be damned in hell. Do you believe that? Are you preaching that in your sermons? I hear a lot of gospel from the pulpits. But do you really let people know there's an alternative to heaven, and that's hell forever and ever? Now let's talk thoroughly about the truth about sharing the Savior. He said in the Gallup poll that only 3% of Lutheran laymen want to win the world for Christ. The Roman Catholic was second, 6%, twice as high as the Lutherans. And the occasional churchgoer, I think, was around 10%. God's will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why Jesus, before he left the world, said to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That's why he told them, "Preach the gospel to every creature." That's why he said in the book of Acts, "Ye shall be my witnesses." He didn't say, "You may be my witnesses." He said, "You shall be my witnesses." And who does he expect to go? He expects every Christian to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And to whom are they to go? To all peoples everywhere. But there's a problem. I mentioned that in the early part of the surveys I've been taking, that only 42% of the people in a Lutheran church, and I pray this is absolutely wrong, I pray it's 100% of them know the way to heaven, but only 42% could give the right answer. Now that is the people that are in church on Sunday. What about the delinquents who don't come? I want to say in a round figure that 50% of the people in the church do know the way to heaven. Now let me ask you a question. Supposing your car was only working on 50% of its cylinders, what kind of performance are you going to get? You get the point? Now, if we have half the people in the church that really don't believe in Jesus, and some of these people are the leaders in the church, we got problems. Does that maybe give us a clue as to why some of our churches are not growing as they should? And why sometimes we have our quarterly meetings, they're sometimes called the quarterly fight night? I think we really need to take our Christianity seriously. There's one young lady I know personally who does take her Christianity very seriously. She went through one of our synodical schools. She's now a parochial school teacher. But when she got in her first parochial school classroom, she taught them all one passage. The John 3:16 witnessing method. For God so loved Bobby that he gave his only begotten son to suffer down the cross for Bobby, and so forth. And the first assignment she gave her little children in grade school was to go home and tell mom and daddy. And furthermore, anybody that comes in their classroom, the whole classroom recites, for God so loved their visitor. But one little boy was a black boy, and he was adopted by his parents. When he went home and shared this with his parents were all upset. And they came back to talk to this teacher, and they called her a fanatic, that she would make their little son go home and share that with them. Well, it's interesting, this same little black boy, a few months after that, was baptized in our Lutheran church. And that little black boy's parents, who chewed the parochial school teacher out, are now in an adult class, and by this time they should be members of our Lutheran church. And all this happened because a parochial school teacher was willing to be called a fanatic. Now, we don't want to be a fanatic in the Lutheran church, but we do want to let people know we are a fan of Jesus Christ, that he is our Savior, and he's the only way to heaven. I pray that God will bless you as you get out in the field in the ministry, as you get in the pulpits, that you'll let them know that Jesus died for their sins and he is the only way to heaven. So instead of 42% of the people knowing the way to heaven, it'll be 100%, because that is what God wants. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God bless you to this end. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and mind in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.